Our next presentation, impact of seed vigor, planting depth, and soil conditions on cotton injury from soil-applied herbicides. Brandon Scrage, University of Arkansas.
Thank you for the introduction. Like he mentioned, my name is Brandon Scrage. I'm a student at the University of Arkansas. It's always a pleasure to come and speak with you about some new developments in my research. Lately being that the impact of seed vigor, planting depth, and soil conditions on cotton injury from soil-applied residual herbicides. And to really understand where we're going, we kind of need to understand where we come from. And traditionally, weed control in cotton was accomplished by residual herbicides. And glyphosate, as we know it, was more or less just for burn down. That all changed in 1997 when Monsanto released the Roundup Ready technology. But this allowed his growers to make multiple over-the-top applications with a broad spectrum weed control, and essentially is very effective. Then in 2000, when patent rights were lost, what we saw is a price drop, and essentially we had new chemicals coming out, such as Touchdown, Bullseye, half dozen others. So what we had now was a product that was effective, being offered at a lower price, getting applied on more acres. And what any weed scientist in the South, or even the country for that matter, will tell you is that this is what really led to the increased selection pressure for the resistance problem that we're seeing today. And as you heard all afternoon, I'm sure, in the last couple of years, this resistance is mainly known in cotton as our problem with glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth. 2006, it was discovered here in Arkansas, and today we believe that as much as 87% of our cotton acres are infested with this glyphosate-resistant weed. But to kind of change the broken record, that's not the only concern we're seeing. We still have 62 cotton weed species that are resistant to some mode of action that we're implementing in our cotton systems. So this is what has really prompted the return to the use of soil-applied residual herbicides. And they can be used as an effective tool that we often see. I like to associate it, many do, with the toolbox you see in the lower right-hand corner. Dr. Norsworthy and others got together and they kind of established a best management practices plan where we look at different ways to control and kind of stave off the resistance concerns we're seeing. And this is really essential to use as many tools as we can if we're going to get the 8 weeks of weed-free maintenance that Dr. Buchanan set up in 1974 that can really ensure the maximum yields that we're hoping to see. We still appreciate our glyphosate. We appreciate the glufosinate systems that are coming out. A lot of support has been seen, a lot of good literature showing that there's evidence from interchanging those that can provide control, but we still don't want to rely on a post completely. I like the way Dr. Neve put it in 2011, basically saying that the benefits of a residual herbicide are twofold. We get our additional mode of action, and we're also helping control. So if we have our soil-applied herbicides and they're effective, why have we moved away from them? How come we haven't kept them in the series the entire time? Well, in addition to glyphosate's initial effectiveness and cost-effectiveness, we're seeing inconsistent injury often associated with these herbicides. Dr. Culpepper and Dr. Stephenson have done some research looking at the impact of low seed vigor, soil depth, or planting depth, I should say, and we know that there's some variability among these results, and it can be really attributed to and impacted by soil conditions around our cultural practices. Dr. Askew found that cool, wet conditions really can play a part in this. So that's why I wanted to hypothesize, is there cotton injury resulting from the application of various soil-applied residual herbicides? Can this be influenced by environmental and agronomic conditions? We took this a little step further, looking at planting depth, low seed vigor, and the soil conditions that we see from these pre's. So in 2012 and 2013, we conducted an experiment in Fayetteville and in Roar, Arkansas, using a randomized split-split plot design. Our main plots were our planting depth, looking at a quarter inch versus full inch. Subplot was our different herbicides, looking at Dyrex, Reflex, and Cotteran at the respective 1 and 2X rates. And then our sub-subplot was seedling vigor, characterized as low and high. All applications were made immediately after planting using a CO2 pressurized backpack sprayer. Now, to complement this study with some soil conditions, we did a double run growth chamber experiment in which we conducted a factorial looking at the main factor was our stress versus normal conditions, similar photo period for both, 14 hours. But what we did is we had a stress condition where we held water at maximum holding capacity, 55 degree lows, 72 degree highs, for 7 days, and then it matched. We bumped it up to match our normal plots, 64 and 77 degrees. Basically, that enabled us to have a little stress period when it was initially coming through the soil, but yet we knew we could still get a healthy stand out of it, hopefully. Our factor B was, again, our low and high vigor seed, And our factor C was our herbicides, looking at a non-treated control check, Direx, and Reflex. We use the automated spray chamber. You can see in the lower right-hand corner, it was calibrated to deliver 20 gallons per acre at a speed of 1 mile per hour. And the upper right-hand corner illustration there shows the growth chamber we used. So as far as analysis, application, data collection, they're very similar from the field studies to the growth chamber study. All applications were made immediately after planting. Cotton injury was assessed at 1, 2, 3, and 4 weeks after treatment. And then at 4 weeks after treatment, we harvested our biomass, dried it for 7 days, weighed it, and then we subjected our data to analysis and variance. Significant interactions are presented to you here today using Fisher's Protected LSD at the alpha level of 0.05. So moving on to our results and discussion, we saw a great deal of variability. We were forced to analyze our data separately amongst locations and years. I'm going to set up the graph for you here initially. All of them, the y-axis will be similar throughout the rest of the presentation. This is cotton injury at 22 days after treatment in 2012 at the Fayetteville location. You have injury on the y-axis ranging from 0 to 80%, and our planting depth, which significantly impacted our injury at quarter inch and full inch. And as you can see here, this is a substantial amount of injury based on planting depth alone. But what we found is that this year in this location, we had very cool planting conditions, very wet planting conditions. This kind of matched what Dr. Askew showed earlier, that this can really impact injury from residual herbicides. Our next impact we saw was from herbicide rate. No great surprise there. Again, great deal of injury just because of the environmental conditions, but we see that the higher rate, no great surprise there, did impact injury in a greater amount. This is cotton injury at 19 days after treatment in 2013, same location. And what we found is that we have a similar reaction between vigor, planting depth, and application rate. But I wanted to put a visual aspect on it, as we saw a greater amount of cotrien injury of reflex injury than we did cotrien. The picture on your left here is cotrien at the 2x rate on low vigor cotton. And on the right is your reflex injury. High rate, low vigor cotton. And this was seen traditionally throughout the experiment. No great surprise there, as reflex is not labeled as an planting application in Arkansas. And the variability attests to why to that. So moving on, this is cotton injury at 22 days after treatment in Roar, 2012. Again, you still have injury on your y-axis, except this time we had an interaction of herbicide by planting depth. So if you see your herbicides along the bottom, each with their respective planting dates, and what we're seeing here, and what I want you to take from this, is reflex was the only one that had statistical significance as far as which one saw more injury based on planting depth. At 1-inch planting depths, reflex saw more injury. Now, while cotrien and Direx didn't have statistical significance, you can see, just looking at that, there was a numeric trend, but in the opposite direction. We're seeing greater injury with cotrien and Direx at the shallow depths. So it could be a variance in chemistry, soil type. We're not quite sure what plays into part with that. It's something we have to explore in the future. We also had an interaction of herbicide by rate. Again, you have injury on the y-axis, your respective herbicides and the rates. And what I want you to take from this one is that there was no interaction, only with reflex. It didn't matter what rate you applied, you were still seeing the similar injury, versus cotrien and Direx did see increased injury based on your high rate. No great surprise with those. Moving on to the next year, this is 2013 in Roar, cotton injury at 22 days after treatment. Here we had one heck of an interaction. I know it's a busy graph. I'm going to try to walk you through it as best I can, at least to show you the highlights of what we thought was important when we looked at it. So you have your vigor by depth, by herbicide by rate. Injury, again, is on your y-axis. But I want you to pay attention here is to the low vigor and the high vigor, your mains. And high vigor really had no statistical separation besides Direx at the 1-inch planting depth. So we know that low vigor is playing a huge role in some of the injury we're seeing. And right here you can see that at all herbicides, cotrien, Direx, reflex, at the 1-inch depth, low vigor, we're seeing significantly more injury at a 2x rate. Direx, it doesn't matter exactly what planting depth you want to do it at. If you're using low vigor seed, you're going to see an increase in injury based on a 2x rate. So this moving on to our growth chamber experiment, I wanted to give you a visual assessment of what we are seeing. These are both untreated. The left pot is low vigor, right pot is high vigor, and I just want you to basically see how even though without a herbicide application, how that cotton came up in those conditions and how much healthier the high vigor cotton is. That is what really played a part in some of the injury we see, including this illustration here. This is an untreated low vigors cotton plant on the left, and then you have your Dyrex application on the right. You can see statistically, I mean just visually, you can see the ding that Dyrex can put on that. And we saw this consistently throughout the experiment. So pushing that into the terms of data, we saw a seed vigor by soil conditions interaction, and low vigor seed, when stressed, significantly more injury than any other condition. This really pertains to the importance of watching our seed vigor, getting out at the right time, and hopefully maintaining prime soil conditions, which are not always in our control, but hopefully matching our cultural practices along with that. So in 2012, how do we conclude this? How do we wrap up what we learned? Basically, we see that increased rates and deeper planting depth significantly increase the risk of injury from soil-applied residual herbicides. In 2013, we saw significance of depth, herbicide, and seed vigor, and a significantly more injury by Reflex and Dyrex than that of Cotteran. We decreased seed vigor and allowed planting depths increase for increased risk of injury as well. Now in 2012 in Roar, cotton injury was significantly increased when Reflex was applied to deeper planted cotton. Adversely, Dyrex and cotton was not affected, though numeric trends suggest the opposite. Cotteran and Dyrex caused significantly more injury on cotton when applied at 2x rates, whereas Dyrex did not. 2013, the Roar field experiment. Low vigor cotton planted 1 inch deep had significantly greater injury at 2x rates than at lower rates, shower planting depths, and greater vigor. So really vigor played an essential role in this 2013 study. Low vigor cotton applied with the 2x rate of Dyrex exhibited more injury than low vigor cotton, regardless of planting depth. And then our growth chamber experiment, we saw at stress, low vigor cotton exhibited greater injury than high vigor cotton grown at optimum growing conditions. So with that, we failed to reject the hypothesis. It's a lot of variability there amongst the data. What we're really seeing is that vigor was playing an essential role in every herbicide we applied at every planting depth. And what we did to achieve low vigor was run our cottonseed through a hot water bath and essentially age the seed coat and then retreat it. So I'm not expecting all of our growers to go out there and start bubbling up their cottonseed. But at the same time, this could be attributed to other things such as older seed, variety testing based in your area, based on soil type. I mean, even seed that got left in the rain, anything that could age the seed coat, poor handling, anything that could age that seed coat, we are looking at some of this variability we could see. And with some of the amount of injury that we witnessed, that's not a chance we want to take. So future research, we'd like to explore more environmental conditions, why we're seeing the variability from year to year, especially with the soil. Was it a difference in soil type? And is there anything that we can take from this and hopefully apply to our cotton systems here in the South? So with that, I thank you all. I thank Cotton Incorporated for funding, all the faculty and staff at the U of A that have helped me, and you all for being here. With that, I'll take any questions.
Questions?
Yes, sir.
Would you care to speculate on why you see the difference in your PPO herbicide injury as a function of depth versus your substituted urea over there?
The question was, would I care to speculate on why we were seeing Reflex injury versus the other PS2s? And to tell you the truth, I would care not to. I haven't done enough into looking into it. It's got to be chemistry related, is my assumption, to see that consistent of a difference. As far as specifically why, I'm not sure, but it's something we need to explore in the future. It's never been that great of a concern in the fact that Reflex, you can't apply it at planting in Arkansas, but if we could find a way to effectively use it, in the future, it could be. So. Yes, sir.
There's not a lot we can do to influence vigor, either has it or does it. So, what would you think about these results in relation to seed size, the small seed cotton variety versus the large seed?
Okay. His question, or Dr. Farrell's question was, we can't really influence vigor, so what does seed size have to do with it? It's funny you mentioned that because my poster actually out there, the other half of the study was looking at seed size. And we do see that greater seed size results in less injury statistically. Unfortunately, the size that we used are typically weaned out and culled in commercial seed varieties. When I did the commercial seed test, we look at 40 different varieties throughout the state of Arkansas at three different locations. We did not see any statistical difference because the differences we were seeing, your seed companies were already getting rid of. So it doesn't play a part. Yes, will our growers see it? Doubtfully.
Thank you, our speaker.